Parshas Chukas. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'yel Aharon lemor. And Hashem spoke to Moshe to say to Aharon, saying, this is the parsha of the Pora Aduma, which was used when somebody became Tamei Lomeis, he became Tamei to a dead body. In order to purify himself, he had to have the ashes of the Pora Aduma mixed with spring water sprinkled upon him. And this was the way he purified himself from the Tumah of Tumas Meis. And the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach, and Rashi in Parshas Nosai, Perikei, Posuk Beis, quotes this Gemara in Gittin, that Ches Parshas Nemru Ba'oise Yoim B'yoim Shehukam HaMishkon. 8 Parshas were said on that day, the day that the Mishkan was erected, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And one of those 8 Parshas was this Parsha, the Parsha of Pora Aduma. As Rashi tells us in Parshas Nosai, Perik Zayin, Posuk Aleph, B'sheni, on the second day of Nisan, Nisrifa HaPora, the Pora Aduma was burnt for the first time. Which means this parasha was related to Klal Yisrael on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and on the next day is when they burnt the Pora Aduma. Because it was not possible to prepare the Pora Aduma prior to the erection of the Mishkan. Because we will see further in Pasuk Dalet, one of the steps to prepare the Pora Aduma was to sprinkle its blood towards the entrance of the Oil Moed. So if there was not an Oil Moed in existence yet, one cannot prepare and make the Pora Aduma. That is why Rashi tells us, B'sheni Nisrifa HaPora, the day after the erection of the Mishkan, the day after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, on the second day of Nisan, that is when the Pora was burnt for the first time. The Pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach tells us that when the Yidden came to Mora, they received certain mitzvahs. As the Pasuk says, Shom Somloi Chayku Mishpat V'Shom Niso. And the Gemara learns out from the word Chayk that Klal Yisrael received the Parsha of Pora Aduma in Mora. So how can we say over here that the parasha of Pora Aduma was said for the first time on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, if we see in Parashas B'Shalach that the Yidden already heard about the Pora Aduma in Mora, which was before Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Ramban answers that really the tzivoy, the commandment to do the Pora Aduma, was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This that they received certain mitzvahs in Mora was only lahidiyam ulahargilam lemitzvahs, to let them know about the mitzvahs and to accustom them to the mitzvahs. As Rashi says, that they received in Mora mixas parshas sheis asku bahem, some parshas in order to be busy with them, in order to accustom them to these mitzvahs. However, the main tzivoy was later on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the Pasuk says, Zois chukas ha-Torah, this is the decree of the Torah. As Rashi explains, that the Satan and the Umas Ha'olam, the Satan and the Goyim, bother Klal Yisrael concerning this mitzvah, saying, what is the reason for this mitzvah? It doesn't make any sense. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zois chukas ha-Torah, this is the decree of the Torah. You should do this mitzvah without any understanding. Gezerahi milifonai, ein lecha rishus laharach areho. It is a decree before me. You should not think about it. Do not think what the reasons are and just do it. Zois chukas ha-Torah, this is the decree of the Torah, asher tziva Hashem lemor, that Hashem commanded, saying, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu lecho, and they should take to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Pora Aduma, a red cow. And Rashi is bothered why it says v'yikhu eilecho, they should take to you. If the pasuk starts off in pasuk aleph, that Hashem spoke to Moshe and to Aharon, so it should say v'yikhu aleichem, they should take to both of you. Why does it say eilecho in the singular? Rashi answers, because the Pora Aduma that Moshe made in the Midbar was needed for generations. Because in order to make any new Pora Aduma in future generations, they would have to mix some ash from Moshe's Pora Aduma, the original Pora that was made, into those Pora Adumas. That's why the Pasuk says, V'yikhu eilecho, let them take to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, a Pora, because your Pora will be needed always. The ashes of your Pora will be mixed into every single Pora in the future. So the Pasuk says, they should take to you Pora Aduma, a red cow, Tamima, complete in its redness, which means if it has 2 black hairs, it is pasul. Asher ein ba mum, it should not have a blemish, asher lo ola oleho oil, a yoke should have never been placed on it. Unisatem oiso, and both of you, Moshe and Aharon, should give over this Pora Aduma el Elazar HaKoyen to Elazar HaKoyen. Over here we see that this Pora Aduma was to be made by the Skan Koyen, the deputy of the Koyen Gadol, who was Elazar. However, Aharon was not the one to make this Pora Aduma. And the reason we will see later from our Moshe Adarshan is because, since the Pora Aduma was a kapara, an atonement for the Egel, and since Aaron was instrumental in making the Egel, we say, En kateger nasa seneger, the prosecutor should not now become the defender. Since Aaron was the one who was instrumental in making the Egel, he should not be the one now to bring the kapara, the atonement for the Egel. And that's why this Pora Aduma was done by Elazar. However, in the future, there is machlokes how the parah aduma is supposed to be made. According to one man, the Omar, it can only be made by the Kohen Gadol, and according to another man, the Omar, it can be either made by the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen Hedged. However, over here, this parah aduma was only to be made by Elazar HaKohen, and that's why it says Oisa El Elazar HaKohen. This parah was to be made by Elazar HaKohen, but not future parah adumas. And the pasuk says, "V'hoitzi oisa el michus la'machane." Elazar will take the parah aduma out of all three machanos outside the machane Yisrael, which would mean when Klal Yisrael would enter Eretz Yisrael, they would take the parah aduma outside the walls of Yerushalayim, because within the walls of Yerushalayim was the machane Yisrael. And over here it says that they took the parah aduma outside all three machanos, which means outside the walls of Yerushalayim. And actually, the parah aduma was brought on top of Har HaZeisim, which was the mountain that faced the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash to the east. The Shochet Oisa Lefonov, and a non-Kohen would shecht this Parah Aduma in front of Elazar HaKohen. V'lokach Elazar HaKohen midoma be'etzboi, and Elazar HaKohen would take from its blood with his finger. V'hizo, and he would sprinkle the blood el noichach pnei oil moed, facing the oil moed, facing the entrance of the oil moed, midoma from its blood. Sheva pa'omem, he would sprinkle it 7 times in that direction. And the reason why the pasuk says midoma twice, Sifri explains, because if it would only say midoma once, I would think that he sticks his finger in the blood once and sprinkles 7 times. By the fact that it says midoma twice, it teaches us that for each hazah, for each time he sprinkles, he sticks his finger back into the blood, for a total of 7 times dipping his finger into the blood for each one of the 7 hazois. Yisaraf es haparah le'enov, and someone else will burn the parah before Elazar. Elazar will watch as somebody else burns the parah. As oira, its skins, ves besara, and its flesh, ves doma, and its blood, al pirsha, together with its waist, gisroif, he shall burn the whole parah. And Chizkuni is bothered that once it says vesarav es haparah, that he burns the whole parah, why does it have to go into detail to say es oira, besara, and doma? He therefore explains that each one of these words is coming to include something else. Es oira, he will burn its skins, is coming to include sara, that he will also burn the hair. Ves besara, its flesh, is coming to include atzomos. He will also burn the bones. And doma, the blood, is coming to include the karnayim and the tlofim, that the horns and the hooves of the animal were also burned together with the rest of the parah. The lokach hakoyin, and then the kohen will take eitz erez, a branch of a cedar tree, the ezoiv, and a type of grass, ushni salas, and wool dyed red, the hishlich el toy srefas haparah, and he will throw it into the burning parah. And after the parah was shechted, and Elazar sprinkled the blood facing the entrance of the oil mayit, and the parah was burned, and these things were thrown inside the burning parah, then the Kohen must be metar himself, because he became tamei through this procedure. The chibes begodav HaKohen, and the Kohen must be toivel his clothing in a mikvah. V'rochas besorei b'mayim, and he must toivel himself also in a mikvah. V'achar yovo el ha-machaneh, then he may come into the machaneh. As Rashi explains, then he may enter the machaneh shechino, because this toma that the Kohen was tame from only prohibited him from entering the Machne Shechina. And now that he became tar, he may enter the Machne Shechina again. The tame HaKohen Ara Orev, and this Kohen will be tame until the evening. And Rashi tells us that we must invert the wording in this pasuk, because the tame HaKohen Ara Orev must be placed before the words V'achar Yovo El HaMachne. And the pasuk is telling us that after the Kohen was tovel his clothing, and he himself went into a mikvah, the tame HaKohen Ara Orev, he will still be tame until the evening. And after it becomes evening, then he may enter the machane. And not only was the Kohen who threw these items into the fire tame, but also the one who burnt the parah aduma is also tame. And the one who burnt the parah aduma, he must be toivled his clothing, and he himself must be getoivled in a mikvah, and he too will be tame until the evening. The Osaf Ishtar es Efer HaParah, and a Ishtar, a pure person, will gather the ashes of the Parah Aduma, v'hiniach, and place it michus la'machaneh, outside the camp, in Mokim Tar, in a pure place, v'hoysel adas b'nei Yisrael l'mishmeres, and it shall be for the assembly of the b'nei Yisrael as a safekeeping, l'mei nida, for water that is sprinkled, chatasi, it is a purification for the Tumah of Tumas Meis. And Rashi tells us a second pshat in chatasi, that just like a carbon chatos is also bahano, one may not benefit from the carbon chatos, so too the ashes of the parah aduma are only allowed to be used for this purpose, to purify somebody from the tumah of tumas meis. but he may not have any other benefit or any other pleasure from the ashes of this Parah Aduma. And Rashi tells us that there were three areas where the ashes were placed. The first place was outside the Azara, and these ashes were given to the Kaihanim, the different Mishmaris, the different groups of Kaihanim, who would use these ashes to purify Klal Yisrael who were Tamei Meis. The second place was Har HaZeisim. They placed the ashes of Moshe's original Parah Aduma on Har HaZeisim, and they would take from those ashes and mix it into any new Parah Aduma that will be made. Because in order to make any new Parah, they would have to mix Moshe's ashes that were kept on Har HaZeisim. And the third place was in the Chil, which was an area immediately outside the walls of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And those ashes were placed there l'mishmores as a safekeeping. It was a gzeris hakosum that ashes must be kept in the Chil. And the Maskal of David says that all these areas are alluded to in this pasuk. Because the pasuk says, V'niach b'chus l'machaneh, you shall place the ashes outside the machaneh. That is referring to the ashes, Moshe's ashes, that were placed in Har HaZeisim. Then the pasuk says, l'mishmores, for a safekeeping. That is referring to the ashes in the Chil. L'meinida, for water that is sprinkled, that is referring to the ashes that were given to the Kaihanim that were to be used when a person was Tamei Meis. And the pasuk continues that the person who gathered the ashes of the Parah will also be Tamei. As the pasuk says, V'chibes ha'oisev esefer ha'parah esbegodo, and the person that gathered the ashes of the Parah will be tovel his clothing. And although the pasuk does not say that he himself has to be tovel in the mikvah, Chizkuni says that this is obvious. If he has to be tovel his clothing, he definitely must immerse himself in the mikvah too. V'tamei ad ha'orev, and he will be Tamei until the evening. V'hoisel levnei Yisrael v'lager ha'gar b'sechom l'chukas oylam. And this will be for the Bnei Yisrael and for a ger that will live among them as an everlasting decree. And after the pasuk has told us how to make the Parah Aduma, now the Torah tells us who exactly needs to be purified with these ashes. Hanogea b'meis, one who touches a corpse. L'chol nefesh adam, for every soul of a man. V'tamei shivas yomim, he will be Tamei for 7 days. And once the pasuk says b'meis, one who touches a corpse, what is it adding by saying l'chol nefesh adam? The Sefri says that it is coming to include a nephil, a child born prematurely who died. Although this child might have been underdeveloped and not a completed human being, still, the corpse of this nephil will be metame just like any other corpse. And that's why the pasuk says l'chol nefesh adam, to include a nephil. Hu yischata boy b'yom ha'shlishi, he will purify himself with these ashes on the 3rd day, u'b'yom ha'shvi, and on the 7th day, then yitar, he will be tar. However, if the person does not purify himself with the ashes of the Parah Aduma on the 3rd and 7th day, lo yitar, he will not become tar. Kohanogea b'meis, anybody who touches a corpse, b'nefesh ha'odom ha'sheyomos, the soul of a person who will die, v'lo yischata, and he will not purify himself with the ashes of the Parah Aduma, and he will enter the Mishkan, es Mishkan Hashem timei, he will be metame the Mishkan, v'nichvaso ha'nefesh ha'im Yisrael, and this person will receive kares. Kimei nida lo yzorak olav, because the waters of sprinkling were not sprinkled upon him, tamei yiyeh, he will become tamei, oitu masevoi, his tumah is still in him. Although he might have gone to a mikvah and immersed himself in a mikvah, still, since he did not sprinkle the ashes of the Parah Aduma upon him on the 3rd and 7th day, he is Tamei, and if he enters the Mishkan, he is Chayiv Karis. And Rashi is bothered. Once the Pasuk says, Kol Hanegeah B'meis, anybody who touches a corpse, what is the Pasuk adding by saying, B'nefesh Ha'odom HaShayomos? And Rashi tells us two pshatim. The first pshat is that Nefesh Ha'odom HaShayomos is explaining the word B'meis. What type of mace makes a person tummy for 7 days? And he needs the purification of the Parah Aduma. That is only Nefesh Ha'odom HaShayomos, if he touches a corpse of a human. However, if he touches a dead animal, he is not tummy for 7 days and does not need the purification of the Parah Aduma. Rashi's second shot is, B'nefesh Ha'odom HaShayomos is coming to tell us that not only if he touches a dead body is he tummy mace, but even if he touches a revius dam, a revius of blood of the corpse, he is still Tamei Meis, and he is Tamei 7 days and needs the purification of the Parah Aduma. Up to this point, the Pasuk was telling us the Tumah of Maga. If a person touches the dead body, he becomes Tamei. Now the Pasuk will tell us a new type of Tumah, the Tumah of Oyel. If a person enters a tent in which the dead body is there, he becomes Tamei without touching the dead body. This is called Tumas Oyel. Zoysa Torah, this is the law, Adam Kiyomis Ba'oyel, of a person who will die in a tent. Kol habo elohoyel, anybody who enters the tent while the dead body is there, v'chol asher bo'el, and anything that's in the tent at the time the dead body is there, yitmo shivas yomim, will be tamei for 7 days as if he touched the corpse. And this halacha is true by a metal kli, since the metal kli was inside the oil with the corpse, and a metal kli becomes tamei from its outer surface, therefore this metal vessel became tamei. However, a kli cheres only becomes tamei from its inner surface, and therefore the pasuk tells us that it will only become tamei in the oil if there is no lid on top of the kli. However, if there is a lid on top of the kli cheres, it will not become tamei because the tumah cannot reach its inner surface. V'chol kli fasuach, and any kli cheres that was opened, asher ein tsomet pasul olav, in which its lid is not attached to it, tamehu, then the kli cheres will become tamei in the oil. However, if it has a lid on top of it, the tumah cannot reach its inner surface, and it will not become tamei. V'chol asher yiga al pnei asode, and anyone who touches a body in the open field, b'chalal cherev, whether he touches a body slain by a sword, or by a mace, or a body that died in another way, or be'etzem odom, or he touches the bone of a person, or a cover or a grave, yitma shivas yomim, he will become tamei for 7 days. And the simple meaning of the pasuk is that earlier in pasuk Yudalev it was talking about tumas oil, where the person did not touch the dead body, but rather he became tamei through him being in the same oil as the dead body. However, over here the pasuk is talking about al pnei hasadeh, in the open field where there is no oil. Over here, he must touch the dead body in order to become tamei. And the Mefarshim ask the obvious question, why do we need this pasuk to tell us the din of Maga? We already learned the din of Maga in pasuk Yud Aleph and pasuk Yud Gimel, where it says beferish, hanageya b'meis l'chol nefesh odom, if one touches the dead body, he becomes tamei. Why do I need pasuk Tezayin to teach us the din of Maga once again? And because of this question, the Gemara in Nozir Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis uses this pasuk for other drushes. For example, in pasuk Yud Dalad, we learned the din of Oihel, where a person who is under the same tent as the corpse becomes tamei. This pasuk is coming to teach us a new type of Oihel, that the person himself can become an Oihel over the dead body. If he is standing over the dead body, he himself is an Oihel over the dead body and becomes tamei. Ayin Sham in the Gemara in Nozir Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. But what is still difficult in the pasuk, once the pasuk says v'chol asher yiga al pnei hasodeh, anyone who touches on the open field the mace, a dead body, why does it have to say b'chalal cherev? Why is it necessary to specify one who was slain by a sword? Ramban answers that we can say according to the Pshuta Shel Mikro that the reason why we have to say chalal cherev is because if the Torah would not say this pasuk, I might think that one that was killed by a sword would not be metame. Because we find by an animal that if one shechs a kosher animal, he kills it with a sword, then this animal is not tame. However, if the same animal dies by itself without shechita, it's an avela and it is tame. So we see that an animal that dies by a sword is not tame. So you might think, similarly we would say by Adam, that a person that was killed by a sword would not become tame, and somebody who touches this person would not be tame mace. Therefore the pasuk has to say, chalal cherev, that if one touches a person slain by a sword, he too becomes tame. However, the Gemara in Nozir Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis tells us a different drasha learned out from the words chalal cherev, and that is cherev harehu kachalal, just like one who touches the dead body is tamei for 7 days and needs the purification of the efer paraduma, so too one who touches the sword or a metal that touched the dead body, he too is tamei as if he touched the dead body. Cherev, the sword, harehu kachalal, is as if he touched the corpse. And the pasuk continues, "V'lokachu la'tomei," and they will take for the tomei me'afar sreifas achatos, from the ashes of the burnt para aduma, of the burnt purification animal, v'nosan olav mayim chayim el keli, and he will place on the ashes spring water inside a vessel. And although afar is usually used as the word to describe ashes, and over here it says afar, which usually means dust, beis hillel in Masechet Chulin Daf Peches Amud Beis learns from this pasuk that afar can also mean ashes. Another thing we must understand is that the pasuk seems to contradict itself. It says Mayim Chayim El Keli, that the spring water is placed into a vessel, which is mashma that they place the spring water in the vessel and then place the ashes in the water. However, the pasuk before that says V'nosan Olav Mayim Chayim, that he will place on the ashes the spring water. which is mashma, that he places the ashes in the vessel and then pours the spring water on the ashes. Which way is it? Therefore, the Gemara in Sota Daf Tezayin Amud Beis explains that they are both true. First, he places Mayim Chayim El Keli. He places the spring water into the vessel. And afterwards, he places the ashes into the water. However, in order to be Mekayim the Pasuk, the Nosan Olav Mayim Chayim, he then mixes the water with the ashes. This way, he is actually placing the water on top of the ashes while it's in the Kli. To be Mekayim the Pasuk, the Nosan Olav Mayim Chayim, he will place on the ashes the Mayim Chayim. And by mixing it, he is placing the Mayim Chayim on the ashes. The Rashi is from the beginning of the Parsha until Sheni, will be read inside after Sheni. Sheni. V'lokach ezoiv v'tov al b'mayim ishtar. And an ishtar will take a type of a grass called ezoiv and dip it into the water that had the ashes of the Parah Aduma inside of it. V'hizo al ha'oil, and he will sprinkle it on the tent that had the dead body inside of it. V'al kol ha'kelim, and all the vessels inside this tent. V'al nefoshes asher hayu sham, and on all the people that entered this tent. V'al negea ba'etzem, and on the person who touched the bone of the dead body, or the person that touched the slain person, or the person that touched the dead body, or the person that touched the grave. And the tahar, the pure person, will sprinkle this water on the tamei dika person. And from the fact that the pasuk stresses that this person was tahar, this teaches us that although everybody who was involved with the Parah Aduma became tamei, however, the person that actually sprinkles the water on the Tomei does not become Tomei, he remains in a state of Tar. V'hiza ha-Tar al ha-Tomei, and the Tar sprinkles the water on the Tomei, b'yom ha-Shlishi u'b'yom ha-Shvi, on the third day and the seventh day, v'chita'oi b'yom ha-Shvi, and he completes the purification on the seventh day, v'chibes begodom, and he immerses his clothing in a mikvah, v'rochas b'mayim, and he immerses himself in a mikvah, v'toher bo'erev, and he will become toher in the evening. The ish asher yitma v'lo yischato, and a person who became tamei lemeis and does not purify himself with the ashes of the Parah Aduma, and he enters the Beis HaMikdash, v'nichruso ha-nefesh ahim mitoch ha-kohol, and this person will get cut off from the congregation, he will receive kares, ki es migdash Hashem timei, because the Beis HaMikdash of Hashem, he was metamei, mei nido lo zoirak olav, he did not sprinkle the water of sprinkling on him, tamei hu, he is tamei. And although we saw already in Pasuk Yud Gimel that one who enters the Mishkan without purifying himself with the Efer Parah Aduma is Chayev Kares, so why do I need a separate Pasuk that one who enters the Beis HaMikdash without purifying himself with the Efer Parah Aduma is Chayev Kares? Rashi tells us that if it would say Mishkan, I would not know Mikdash, and if it would say Mikdash, I would not know Mishkan. If it would just say that you are Chayev Kares for entering the Mishkan, I would think only the Mishkan, because the Mishkan was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. However, the Beis HaMikdash, which was not anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, if one enters the Beis HaMikdash, he would not be Chayev Kares. And if it would say the Beis HaMikdash, I would say only the Beis HaMikdash, which has a Kedusha Olamis, a Kedusha forever. However, if one enters the Mishkan, which is only a temporary Kedusha, he would not be Chayev Kares for entering into the Mishkan. V'hoysa lohem l'chukas olam, and this will be to them as an everlasting decree, that for doros, for generations, anybody who is Tamei may not enter the Beis HaMikdash or the area of the Har HaBayis. And this is pertinent even today because all of us are considered Tamei Mesim and we do not have the ashes of the Parah Aduma to purify us. Therefore, we may not enter the area of the Har HaBayis even Bizman Hazeh. And the Pasuk says, Umaze mehanido yechabis begodov, and literally this means that the one who will sprinkle the water of sprinkling will have to be toivel his clothing. Problem is, this cannot be, because in Pasuk Yutes we said clearly, v'hiza ha-tor al ha-tomei, that the one who will sprinkle on the tomei, he will remain tar, he will not become tomei. So we cannot say that the one who is mazeh becomes tomei, that he should have to be toivel his clothing. Therefore Rashi tells us that the pshat in this Pasuk is that the Pasuk is highlighting the difference between one who carries the water of the Parah Aduma and one who just touches it. The one who carries it is metame odom letame begodom. He is tame and also his clothing are tame. However, the one who just touches it, he is tame and his clothing are not tame. And this is the way the pasuk reads: Umaze mehanida, the one who carries the water of sprinkling, yichabes begodom, he will become tummy, and also his clothing will become tummy. However, v'hanageh b'me'anidah, one who does not carry it, he just touches it, yitma ad ha'orev, he will be tummy until the evening. Only he will become tummy, but not his clothing. However, we have to understand why the pasuk says umaze, the one who sprinkles, if the pasuk is talking about one who carries the eifa para aduma. And Rashi tells us, the word umaze is coming to teach us how much does one have to carry and how much does one have to touch in order to become tummy. And the word maze tells us that it is the shear of hazo, the shear and the quantity sufficient for sprinkling. It has to be enough that we can dip the grass inside and there's enough to make it wet and sprinkle it on somebody. Umaza, it has to be the shear of hazo. Now the pasuk tells us that not only is the person that touched the dead body tummy, but if this person touches a second person, this second person is also tummy, although he is not tummy for 7 days, he is tummy tumas erev until the evening. V'chol asher yigavoy ha-tummy, and anyone who this tummy who touched the dead body will touch, yitma, this second person will become tummy. V'nefesh hanagas titma ad ha-orev, this person that was touched by the tummy mace will be tummy until the evening. I would just like to mention a few points before we go back on the Rashi's from the beginning of the parasha. The pasuk says earlier in Perik Yutes, Pasuk Yudalet, Zois HaTorah Odom Kiyomus Boel. It is important to note a very famous Gemara in Brochus Daf Samach Gimel that learns out of this pasuk that Ein Divrei Torah Niknin Ela B'misha Memis Atzmai Olel, that the words of Torah cannot be acquired by somebody who takes it easy, but rather only by somebody who literally kills himself in order to learn Torah. Zois HaTorah, this is the way the Torah is acquired. Odom Kiyomus Boel, only by a person who will kill himself in the oil, in the tent of the yeshivas, in the tent of learning, because it is only through a tremendous amount of yegia and hard work that he can be koina and acquire Torah. Another important point to mention is that paraduma is called a choik in the beginning of the parasha, something that we cannot understand. And it is so distant from our comprehension that the smartest person to ever live, Shlomo HaMelech said, Amarti echkema, I said I was wise, v'hi rechoike mimeni, however the reason of the Parah Adumah is distant from me. He thought he would be able to comprehend the reason of the Parah Adumah. However, he did not succeed. And the Chido explains why Shlomo HaMelech thought he would be able to understand this mitzvah of Parah Adumah. Because if you look in Perik Yutes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, on the Pasuk V'lokhu Latome Me Afar Sereifa Sachatos, the words Latome Me Afar Sereifa Sachatos, the Rashi Tevis of those words are Lamid Mem Shin He. If you move around the letters, Lamid Mem Shin He can be read Shloimei, Shin Lamid Mem He. So he thought that since his name is mentioned in the Parsha of Parah Adumah as a Rashi Tevis, therefore he would understand the reason of Parah Adumah. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that you should not read the letters out of sequence, but read it in order. Lamid, Latome, Mem, Me Afar, Sin, Sreifas, He Hachatos, so it's Lamid, Mem, Shin, He, and it spells Limoshe, telling Shlomo HaMelech that the reason of the Parah Adumah was only told Limoshe, but not to Shlomo. An interesting halacha is brought down by the Mogen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch Orachayim Simen Tav Kuf Pei, where he cites the practice of individuals, the practice of Yechidim, who fasted on the Friday prior to the reading of Parshas Chukas. In general, it is not something that is done to have a fast day scheduled on a Friday. And of even greater significance is the fact that most fast days are established on a specific calendar date, while this one is not. The Magen Avraham writes that no matter what day of the month the Friday prior to Parshas Chukas falls, that is the day that the Yechidim fast. So what is the significance of this fast day? It commemorates the burning of the 20 wagon loads of Gemara and other Svarim in France. When this event happened, it occurred on the ninth day of Tammuz. However, the Chachamim of that day learned through dreams that the cause of this incident was not related to the day of the calendar, but to the fact that it was the day before the reading of Parshas Chukas. The Magen Avraham explains that the Targum Onkelos, in the opening words of this Parsha, Zois Chukas HaTorah, Targum says, Do Gezeres Araisa, this is the decree of the Torah. This was understood to be a Torah decree that such a tragic event would occur on the Friday before Parshas Chukas. The Imre Shammai supplies additional historical background to this incident. And he says that in the exact place where the Sfarim were burnt, the Jews of that town had in previous years publicly burnt the Rambam Sefer Mor Nebuchim. The Mor Nebuchim was a controversial Sefer. In those days, the Rambam did not yet have the unquestioning allegiance that he gained in later generations. As surprising as it may seem to us, there were people that were highly critical of the Rambam Sefer Mor Nebuchim. In fact, there were even some places where his Sefer Hamada, the first volume of his major work, Yad HaZakah, was not accepted. As a punishment from Shemayim for this earlier burning of the Rambam Svarim, 20 cartloads of Svarim were now burnt publicly. When the Jewish community saw this, they recognized their earlier sins and repented by establishing a fast day on the Friday before Parshas Chukas. They davened for forgiveness, and from then on, there was no more controversy about the Rambam Svarim, the Mor Nebuchim. In this way, they were very fortunate. They had a clear sign from Shemayim in terms of what they have done wrong. It did not take a genius to put two and two together and draw the appropriate conclusion. The connection was obvious. It was because of their burning of the Rambam Svarim that their Svarim were burnt. And the Targum Onkelos on this week's Parsha, Dog Zera de Araisa, was a sign for them that this was decreed upon from Shemayim, that this should be their punishment for what they did to the Rambam Svarim. Zok Rashi from the beginning of the parasha. Zois chukas ha-Torah, this is the decree of the Torah. Lefi sha-Satan ve-Umos ha-Olam, moinen es Yisrael, since the Satan and the nations of the world bother Klai Yisrael, loimar by saying, maha mitzvah zois, what is this mitzvah of Parah Aduma? Uma tam yesh ba, and what is the reason for it? Lefikach, therefore, kosav ba, the Torah writes, chuka, it is a chayk, gezerihi min lifonai, it is a decree from before me, ein lecha reshus lahara achareho, you have no permission to think about it. And in Sefer Nachlas Yaakov, he asks, why does Rashi say Satan and Umas Olam? And secondly, why does it say two questions, ma ha-mitzvah hazois, uma tam yesh bo? Therefore he explains that the Satan asks ma ha-mitzvah hazois, and the Umas Olam asks ma tam yesh bo. The Satan asks ma ha-mitzvah hazois, what is this mitzvah that seems to be a contradiction? It's mitares atmeim and mitames atarim. It makes the people who are tamei tahar, and the people who are tahar, it makes them tamei. So what is this contradictory mitzvah? And secondly, the Umos HaOlam ask, ma tam yesh bo? What is the reason for this sprinkling of water with ashes on a person, which looks like kishuv, it looks like witchcraft? On that Hashem says, this is a gezerah before me, you should not think about it, you should do it without any thought. There are three other places where Rashi explains the word chayk. In Parshas Toldos, Perek Chavav Pasuk Hei, on the word Chukaisai, he explains that it is a mitzvah that the Yetzer Hara and the Umos HaOlam ask about it. And so too, in Parshas Achrei Mois, Perek Yuches Pasuk Dalet, on the Pasuk Ves Chukaisai Teshmeru, over there also he says that the Yetzer Hara and the Umos HaOlam ask about the mitzvah. In both of those instances, he does not say Satan, but rather he says the Yetzer Hara. In Parshas Beshalach, Perek Tesvav Pasuk Chavav, on the Pasuk Vishomarta Kol Chukav, over there he says, Chukim are mitzvahs that the Yetzer Hara ask about it. Over there he mentions Yetzer Hara, but does not mention Umos HaOlam. So we have to understand why Rashi sometimes says Yetzer Hara and sometimes Satan, and why sometimes he mentions Umos HaOlam and sometimes he does not. Zok Rashi V'yikhu Eilecho, they should take to you. Rashi is bothered why the Pasuk does not say V'yikhu Aleichem, since the Parsha was starting off speaking to both Moshe and Aharon, it should have said V'yikhu and they should take Aleichem in the plural. So Rashi La'olam hinikras al shemecho. It says it in the singular because this parah will always be called by your name, Moshe Rabbeinu. Parah she'asa Moshe ba'midbar, the parah that Moshe made in the midbar. Because from this parah they would mix the ashes into all other parahs, and therefore it will always be known by your name, the parah that Moshe made in the midbar, which is mixed into all other parahs. Aduma Tamima, complete in its redness, Shetehe Tamima Ba'ad Mimus, it should be complete in its redness, Shem Hoyeba Shtei Sa'ore Shecharos, if it has two black hairs, Pesula, it will be Pasul. And the reason why we teach Tamima going back on the word Aduma, complete in its redness, and not teach Tamima without a blemish, because right afterwards the Pasuk says, Asher Ein Bamum, it does not have a blemish, so we do not need the word Tamima. Therefore, Tamima is going back on the previous word, Aduma, Aduma Tamima, complete in its redness. Zok Rashi Elazar. Mitzvasa Biskan, the mitzvah was that the deputy of the Kohen Gadol would do this avoida this time. However, in the future, it was done either only by the Kohen Gadol or by the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen Hedget. El Michus La Machaneh, he took it out of all three Machanois, Chus La Sholish Machanois. As we explained, it was taken onto Har HaZeisim. V'shochet Oysel Lefanov, Zor Shoychet Ve'Elozer Royat. A non-Kohen would shecht the Paraduma while Elozer was watching. El Noichach Oyel Moed, he would sprinkle the blood facing the entrance of the Oyel Moed. Oymed B'Mizrochi Shel Yerushalayim. He would stand on the east side of Yerushalayim, which means on Har HaZeisim. U'Mischaven, and he would align himself. Veroya and see Pischo Shel Hechel, the entrance of the Hechel, Bishas Hazoas Adam, at the time that he sprinkles the blood. He would be facing the entrance of the Hechel. El Amachane, and after he is Tovel himself, he can enter the Machane. La Machane Shechino, this is referring to entering the Machane Shechino. She ain't Tomei Meshula Chusla Shtei Machanois, El Azavu Bal Keri Umetzara. Because the only Tmeim that are sent out of more than one Machane is a Zav and a Bal Keri who are sent out of two Machanois, the Machane Shechina and the Machane Leviyah, and a Mitzorah who is sent out of three Machanois. However, this Tumah is only a Tumah that requires him to leave the Machane Shechina, and when he becomes Tar, he may return to the Machane Shechina. And then Rashi says, after he is Tovel himself and Tovel his clothing, he may enter the Machane, V'tomei HaKoyin Ad HaOrev, and he is Tomei until the evening. So Seo V'dor Sheo, we must invert the wording of the Pasuk and then explain it. V'tomei Ad HaOrev, first we say that he is Tomei until the evening. V'achar Yovei El HaMachane, and then he may enter the Machane. Although the Pasuk says it in the order of V'achar Yovei El HaMachane, V'tomei HaKoyin Ad HaOrev, we must read it, V'tomei HaKoyin Ad HaOrev, V'achar Yovei El HaMachane. So Rashi V'hiniach Michus La Machane, and he shall place the ashes outside the camp. L'shloisha Chalokim Mischalekes, the ashes were divided into three parts. Echad Nosen Bahar Mishcho, one was placed in Har HaZeisim. V'echad Mischalik L'chol HaMishmores, and one was divided to all the Kohanim. V'echad Nosen Bechil, and one was placed in the area called Chil. Zeh Shel Mishmores Hayachus La'Azorah, the one that was given to the groups of the Kohanim was placed outside the Azara. Lito mimenu b'nei ha'ayoris, in order that the people of the cities would be able to take from it. V'chol ha'tzrichin lihitar, and anybody who had to purify himself from the tumah of tumas meis. V'zeh shebahar ha'mishcha, and the one that was placed in Har HaZeisim, Kohanim gedolim leporis acheris mekashim hemenu. The Kohen Gadol would be mekadesh all future para adumas with the ashes from Moshe's first para that was on Har HaZeisim. And the one that was placed in Chil, Nosan Lemishmaris, it was given and placed as a safekeeping, Migzeres HaKosov, because of a decree of the Torah. Shenema, like the Pasuk says, V'hoysel Adas Bnei Yisrael Lemishmaris, and it will be for the assembly of the Bnei Yisrael as a safekeeping. So they just placed it in Chil as a Mishmaris. Zok Rashi Lemei Nida, the word Nida means to sprinkle, water that is sprinkled, Lemei Hazal, water that is sprinkled. The word nida means to sprinkle, kamoi vayadu even be, and he threw a stone at me. Just like vayadu means to throw, nida means to throw and to sprinkle. And like the Pasuk says in Zechariah, liyadois es karnes agoyim, to throw away the horns of the nation. Lashon zrika, it is an expression of sprinkling and throwing. Chatosi, lashon chitoi kipshutoi, according to the simple meaning of the Pasuk, it is a purification for tamei meis. Ulefi hilchosav, and according to its laws, Korah Kosov Chatos, the Torah calls the ashes of the Paraduma as a Chatos. Loimer to say, Shehu Kikochim, it's like Kochim Lehi Osir Bahano. It's like Kochim that is Osir to have any Hano or benefit from it. Just like a Chatos, one may not have a Hano from a Chatos, so too, the ashes of the Paraduma are Osir to have any benefit aside from the benefit of purifying oneself from Tumas Meis. Hu Yischatavoy, he will purify himself with him. Rashi is bothered, why does it say boy, the Lashon Zachar? In the masculine, if we are talking about that he is purifying himself with the para aduma, para is Lashon Nekeva in the feminine. It should have said, hu yischata bo. So Rashi, boy is not referring to the para aduma, but rather the ashes of the para aduma, the Efer para aduma, and Efer is Lashon Zachar. Hu yischata boy, he will purify himself with him, the Efer ha-para, with the ashes of the para aduma. So Rashi, b'meis b'nefesh, the Eza Mace, what type of mace are we referring to? Shel Nefesh Ha'odom, of the soul of a person, a human corpse. Lahotzi Nefesh Behema, which is coming to exclude the dead animal. Shein tumas tzricha hazar v'loy tumas shiva. If one touches a dead animal, he does not become tameh for 7 days, nor does he have to be sprinkled with the ashes of the parah aduma. The pasuk is telling us what type of mace are we referring to, nefesh ha'odom and not nefesh behema. Davar acher, another pshat, the nefesh zu revias dam. The word nefesh is coming to include that not only if you touch the corpse, but even if you just touch a revias dam of the dead body, that will also make you tameh for 7 days. And although the pasuk in Parshas Emor, Perik Chof Aleph, pasuk Yud, when discussing the Kohen Gadol, the pasuk says, "V'al kol nafshos meis lo yavoy," he is not allowed to enter a tent that has a dead body in it. And Rashi says over there, why does it say nafshos meis? This is to tell us that not only can't he enter a tent that has a body in it, but even if it only has a revias dam of a dead body, so why do we need the pasuk over here to tell us again that a revias dam is metameh? The Mefarshim explain that this pasuk over here is talking about maga, the tumah of touching a dead body. And the pasuk is saying, not only if you touch a dead body are you tameh, but even if you just touch a revias dam of a dead body. The pasuk over there in Parshas Emor is referring to tumas oil. And over there the pasuk is telling us, not only is the tumah of oil metameh when there is a corpse inside the tent, but even if there is only a revias dam inside the tent, it is metameh. Zok Rashi es Mishkan Hashem Timei in Nichnas Lazara, if he enters the courtyard of the Mishkan, afilu b'tfilo, even though he was already tovel, he immersed himself in a mikvah beloy hazos shlishi ushvi, but he did not sprinkle the ashes of the parah aduma on him on the 3rd and 7th day. Oitumosavoy, his tuma is still in him afal pishetoval, even though he immersed himself in a mikvah, and if he enters the Hazara, he is chayiv karis. Anybody who entered the tent when the dead body is inside is tameh because of the tumah of oil. And any vessel that is opened will become tameh. This pasuk is talking about earthenware vessels who do not accept tumah from the outer surface, only from the inner surface. Lefikach, therefore, im ein megufas tzmidosei psula olav yafa bechibor, if the lid is not attached well on top, tamehu, it will be tameh. Ha'im yesh somed pasul olav, but if it has a lid on top of it, tar, it will be tar, because the tumah will not be able to reach its inner surface. What does the word pasul mean? Lashon mechubar, it is an expression of something that is attached, the lashon ivri in Hebrew. V'chein, and so Rachel said, naftulei elikim niftalti, I have become attached by Hashem. Nischabarti im achoisi. By having this child, Hashem has attached me to be like my sister. So we see naftuli means to be attached. And the same word, posel, means also a lid which is attached on top. Zakrashi al panei asode, anyone who touches anything on the open field. Rabbi Seinu Darshu, our Chachamim explain that al panei asode is coming to include l'raboiz goylev adoifek, to include one who touches the goylev and the doifek. Rashi learns goylel is the lid of a coffin, and doifek is the side wall of the coffin. So if one touches the lid of the coffin, or the side wall in the open field, he too will become tameh. Rabbeinu Tam learns that the goylel is the matseva, the stone on top of the grave, and that too is metameh. That is the drush. However, upshutai, the simple pshat in the pasuk, al panei asod, what does it mean that he touches something on the open field? She'ein shom oil. We are talking about a case where there is no oil. Metama hameis shom benegiyah. Then the mace will be metama only through touching it. V'chitoi beyom hashvi hugmar tarosoi. The completion of the purification will take place on the 7th day after he has sprinkled already the ashes of the parah aduma on the 3rd and 7th day. V'ish asher yitma, and a person who will become tameh and will not purify himself with the ashes of the parah aduma on the 3rd and 7th day, and he will enter the Beis HaMikdash, he will be chayav kares. Once the pasuk over here says Migdash, why do we need Mishkan in pasuk Yud Gimel? And also the other way, if it says Mishkan, why do we need Migdash? And as we explained, the answer to this is that Mishkan has the milo that it was Mashuach b'shem ha-mishcha, and Migdash had the milo that it is Kedusha Olamis, a Kedusha forever. So we cannot learn one from the other. Kedisa b'shvuas, like the Gemara says in Masech d'Shvuas. So Rashi umaza mehanida will be tameh. Rabbi Seinu Amru, Sha'amazatar, our Chacham learned that the one who sprinkles the water with the ashes on the person that was tameh will remain tar. This pasuk is coming to teach us, Shehan Noise, one who carries Mechatos, the purification water of the Paraduma, Tomei Tumah Chamura Letameh Begadim. The one who carries it will be Tomei, a more severe Tumah, to be Metameh his clothing, She'olav, that are on him. Masha Enkin Benogea, which is not so by the person that just touches the Eifa Paraduma, he will only become Tomei and not his clothing. If we are talking about one who carries and one who touches, why does the Pasuk say Maza, one who sprinkles? The Pasuk is telling us that if one carries or touches the Eifa Paraduma, it is only Metame if it has the quantity sufficient for sprinkling. If it has the shear of Hazor, then it is Metame. That's why it says Umaze, that we need the shear of Hazor. Zakrashi Vahanoigean, the one who touches it, Yitmo, will become Tame. The ain't ton kibas begodim. However, if he just touches it, he does not have to be toivel his clothing. The Khoilashi Yiga, and anyone who this person will touch, who is this person? Hatame Hazeh Shenitma Bemes. Anyone who this person who touched the dead body will touch, Yitma, that second person will become Tomei. Va'nefesh anegas boy betomei meis, this person that touched the person that touched the dead body, titma ara orev, he will be Tomei until the evening. V'kan lo madnu, from here we learn, shahameis avi avois hatoma. The mace is the most intense primary source of Tomo. Va'hanogea boy, and the one who touches the mace, ava Tomo, he is a primary source of Tomo, and he is Tomei for 7 days. Umetame Odom, and if this person touches somebody else, he can be Metame another person. However, this second person will not be Tami for 7 days, only Tumas Erev until the evening. Zehu Pirusha Lefi Mashmo Vilchoiso. This is the Pshat in this parsha, according to the way it sounds and according to its halachas. Zakrashi Umedrash Agoda Hetakti Miyasoidashor Moshe Hadarshan. Now I will bring down a Medrash Agoda which I copied from Ramosha Hadarshan. Vizehu, and this is the Pshat of Ramosha Hadarshan. And Rashi will now go through the psukim according to the pshat of Rav Moshe Hadarshan. Rav Moshe Hadarshan learns that the Parah Aduma was a kapara, an atonement on the Egel. And therefore he makes all these comparisons between the sin of the Egel and the atonement of the Parah Aduma. Zok Rashi, v'yikhu elecho, and they should take to you, mishalohem, from their own money they should donate the Parah Aduma. Kishem shehem parku nizmi azov le'egel mishalohem, just like they took off their gold rings for the Egel, from their own pocket, from their own money. Now, when they are bringing this as an atonement, they should also bring the atonement from their own pockets. Just like the Avera was done out of their own pockets, the Kapora should also be done out of their own pockets. Zakrashi Pora Aduma. Why was a Pora, a cow, chosen to atone for the Egel? Moshel, it is compared to Leben Shivcha, the son of a maidservant, Shetinev Palton Shel Melech, who dirtied the king's palace. Amru, they said, Tavoi ima utekaneach hatsoya, let the mother come and wipe up and clean up the excrement of the child. Kach tavoi para utechaper ala egel. So too, the para, the mother cow, should come and atone for its child, the calf, the egel. Zakrashi aduma, the para should be red. Why does the kapara for the egel have to be red? Al shem, because of the pasuk im yadimu katoilo, if your sins will be red like a red thread. So we see that a chet kari edoim, that a sin is called red. So therefore the para aduma, which was atoning for the sin of the egel, must be red to remind us of the sin. Tamima, complete without a mum. Al shem Yisrael shohu tamimim, because Klal Yisrael used to be complete without a mum. V'na'asu boi bali mumen, and through the egel they became blemished. Tavayzu usachaper aleihem, let this para aduma come and atone for them. V'yachzru l'tamusam, and return them to their state of completeness. Rashi earlier learned that Tamima was going back on the word aduma, complete in its redness. However, according to Rav Moshe Hadarshan, the word Tamima means complete without a mum. And since Klal Yisrael were once complete without a mum and now became blemished, through this kapara they will go back to the state of being Tamima, complete without a mum. Loi olo oleha oil, a yoke should not have been placed on the para. Kshem sheparku me'alem oil shamayim, just like when they did the egel, they removed from themselves the yoke of heaven, so too the kapara should not have a yoke on it. Zok Rashi el alozer hakoyin, the one who should make the para aduma should be a lozer. Kshem shenikalu ala haran shehu koyin lasus egel, just like they gathered on a haran who was a koyin to make the egel. So now when we are making the kapara for the egel, it shall also be done through a kohen. So why wasn't it done through Aharon himself? Since Aaron was the one who actually made the egel, we do not want that this avodah should be done through him. Because the prosecutor should not now become the defender. And the Mefarshim ask that if we are saying now, so how can the Parah Aduma come now and be a kapora for the egel? Parah and egel are the same. The egel that did the avera cannot come now and be the defender for Klal Yisrael in the form of a parah, which is the same family. And Sifsei Chacham answers that the only time we say Ekan Teger Nasas and Eger, the prosecutor should not become the defender, that is only by Avodas Pnim. For example, on Yom Kippur, we do not allow the Kohen Gadol to wear his gold clothing when he comes Lefnayev Lefnim inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because Ekan Teger Nasas and Eger, and we do not want to bring gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, because we do not want to remind Hashem of the Avera of the Egel. However, by Avodas Chutz, when one is doing the Avodah outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there the Kohen Gadol was allowed to wear gold, because Ein Kateger Nasas and Eger does not apply outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So here too, since the Parah Aduma was not made inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so there is no issue of Ein Kateger Nasas and Eger. But then the question arises, why wasn't Aaron able to do the Avodah of the Parah Aduma? He wasn't doing the Avodah Bifnim, so let him be the one to make the Parah Aduma. Why does Rashi say that Enka Teger Nasas and Eger applies over there? Sifsei Chacham answers that although Aaron was doing the Avodah B'chutz, still we did not want him to be the one to make the Parah Aduma, because it was actually Aaron who made the Egel. So the person who actually made the Egel, we don't want to now make the Kapara, even B'chutz. However, using a Parah to atone for the Egel, this Parah was not actually the Egel, it was just the min of the Egel, the specie of the Egel. Therefore, if it's not Avodas Pnim, it does not bother us, and it's not an issue of Enka Teger, Nasas and Eger. Zok Rashi v'sorof es haporo, and the Parah Aduma shall be burnt, k'shem shenisraf ha'egel, just like the Egel was burnt, so too the Parah Aduma, the Kapora, should also be burnt. Eitz Erez ve'ezev u'shni salas, these three items were thrown into the burning Parah. Gimel minim halolu, these three varieties, k'neged shloishes alfei ish shenaflu ba'egel, correspond to the 3,000 people that died by the Egel. The Levium took their swords and killed 3,000 people. And corresponding to these 3,000 people, these three items were thrown into the burning Parah. The Erez hu agavoye mikol ho'ilonos, and the cedar is the tallest of all trees. The Ezoiv nomach mikulom, and the Ezoiv, the grass, is very low. Simen, this is a simen. She hagavoye shenes goe, one who becomes haughty and holds himself high like the cedar. V'chota and sins, yashpil atzmoi ke'ezoi v'salas, let him lower himself like a blade of grass and like a worm, v'yischaper loy, and he will be forgiven through that. That is why an erez, a cedar, is used to represent how high he was when he did his avera, and the ezov and talas represent the state that he must lower himself to in order to be forgiven. Limishmeres, for a safekeeping, k'moi she'pesha ho'egel, shama l'dayroiz, just like the avera of the egel is kept for generations, l'peronios, as punishment, she'ein l'cha pekuda, she'ein bambi pekuda sa'egel, because there is no punishment that does not have a little bit of a punishment from the avera of the egel, she'nema, like the pasuk says in Parashas Kisiso, uviyayin pakti, and on the day that I remember other averos, ufakadati, I will also remember the avera of the egel. Which means that the avera of the egel is a mishmeres, it's a safekeeping, and something that is being watched forever to always punish Klal Yisrael with this sin. So too, part of the ashes of the Parah Aduma was set aside l'mishmeres as a safekeeping forever. And just like the egel was metame anybody who was busy worshipping it, because Avodah Zarah is metame, kach para metame kol oiskim boy. So too, the Parah Aduma is metame anybody who was busy making the Parah Aduma. And just like they became purified through the ashes of the egel, shenema, like the pasuk said, vayozer al pnei amayim, after the egel was burnt, Moshe ground it down and sprinkled it into the water, and Klal Yisrael drank this water, and those that sinned died by drinking this water. However, the ones that did not sin became purified through this water. Kach, so too, v'lochu latame me'afar srefas achatos, they take for the tame from the ashes of the burnt chatas and sprinkle it on the water to purify this person. just like it was done by the Egel, so too it was done by the Pora Aduma. And this concludes Rav Moshe Hadarshan's pshat, who learns that the Pora Aduma was an atonement for the Avera of the Egel. And we really have to understand what exactly is the connection between the Pora Aduma, which is used to purify somebody who became Tami Lameis, and the Avera of the Egel. Why was it specifically this mitzvah that was used as a kapara for the Egel? And the Beis HaLevi explains that the underlying Avera that Klal Yisrael did by the Egel was that they took things into their own hands and made their own decisions. Because after they erroneously thought that Moshe Rabbeinu died in Shemayim, they decided that they need an intermediary to go between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was their intermediary, they need a new intermediary, and they decided who should be this intermediary. It should be the Egel. So they did not ask Hashem, but rather took things into their own hands and decided what exactly should be done. So we see that the Avera of the Egel was a lapse of Emuna on the part of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, if they want to atone for this Avera, they must do something that will show a tremendous amount of Emuna. And this is the mitzvah of Pora Aduma. Because when one performs the mitzvah of Pora Aduma without understanding at all what he is doing, that is showing the greatest emuna in Hashem. We are following Hashem blindly because we trust in him and we want to do what he is telling us. That is why the Pora Aduma was chosen as a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. And the pasuk now continues by skipping approximately 38 years to the 40th year that the Yidden were in the Midbar. Because the story of the Meraglim and the story of Korach took place in the second year that the Yidden were in the Midbar. And now we are skipping to the 40th year, the year that Miriam died. Vayavoyu v'nei Yisrael, and the b'nei Yisrael came, Kol Ho'edo, the entire assembly, Midbar Tzin to Midbar Tzin, b'chodesh harishon, in the first month, which was Nisan. As Yonison ben Uziel tells us, it was the 10th day of Nisan in the 40th year that the Yidden were in the Midbar. Vayeshev ha'om b'kodesh, and the nation settled in Kodesh. Vatomas Shom Miriam, and Miriam died over there. Vatikover Shom, and she was buried there. And Rashi is bothered. Why does the pasuk say Vayavoyu Bnei Yisrael and then say Kol Ha'eda? Once it says Bnei Yisrael, why is it necessary to say Kol Ha'eda? And even if it does want to say Kol Ha'eda, it should have said Vayavoyu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael. Why does it say separately Bnei Yisrael and Kol Ha'eda? And Rashi answers that the pasuk is coming to tell us that at this point, all the Meisei Midbar, all the people who were decreed upon to die in the desert, all had already died. And these people who were standing here on the 10th day of Nisan were the ones who were destined to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And this is what the pasuk means. Vayavoyu v'nei Yisrael kol ho'eda, the entire assembly, the ones who were supposed to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk says that they came to Kadesh, to a place called Kadesh. And we must point out that this Kadesh is not the same Kadesh where the Meraglim were sent from, because that was Kadesh Barnea. However, this Kadesh was in Midbar Tzin. And as Rashi tells us in Parashas Matas, Perik Lamed Beis, Pasuk Ches, Sheshnei Kadesh Hayu, there were two places called Kadesh. One was Kadesh Barnea, where they sent the Meraglim from, and a second Kadesh was Kadesh in Midbar Tzin, which was the place where Miriam died. And Rashi also tells us that Miriam did not die a regular death, but rather a Misas Neshika, where Hashem kissed Miriam and caused her to die in that manner. And this was the most desirable form of death, because by this type of death, the soul departs the body without any resistance. How do we know that Miriam also died the Misas Neshika? We learn it out from Moshe Rabbeinu, because over here by Miriam, there is an extra word Shom. It says Shom twice in the pasuk. Vatomasham vatigoversham. Since we have an extra word sham, we can learn a gzereshava, sham sham to Moshe Rabbeinu, because by Moshe Rabbeinu it also says sham, vayomos sham Moshe al pi Hashem. And just like by Moshe, where it says the word sham, he died al pi Hashem, through the mouth of Hashem, b'misas neshika, we can learn also to Miriam, where also it says the word sham, that she too died b'misas neshika. And the reason why the pasuk does not say straightforward the words Al Pi Hashem by Miriam, just like it says it by Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi tells us because that would not be Derech Kavod Shel Malo. It would not be speaking in a respectful manner towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say straightforward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kissed Miriam at the time of her death. Therefore, the pasuk does not say it straight out, but rather learns it out from a gzeira shava, sham sham, from Moshe Rabbeinu. And the pasuk continues, v'loy hoya mayim lo eda. Since Miriam died, there was no water for the assembly, because the entire 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, the Yidden had water from the Be'er, from the well, because of the merit, the schus of Miriam. But once she died, the Be'er disappeared, and they did not have any water. Vayikohalu al Moshe v'al Aharon, and they gathered on Moshe and Aharon. Vayorav ha'omim Moshe, and Klal Yisrael, the nation, fought with Moshe. Although the pasuk starts off, Vayikohalu, and they gathered al Moshe v'al Aharon, so why does it only end off with Moshe by saying Vayorav ha'om im Moshe? The Torah explains that their main argument was directed towards Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, although it says Vayikohalu al Moshe v'al Aharon, they gathered on Moshe and Aharon, they directed their main fight against Moshe. That's why it says Vayorav ha'om im Moshe. Vayomru lemar, and they said, saying, V'lugavanu, halavai that we should have died, bigva achenu, with the death of our brothers, with the death of a plague, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. It would have been better for us to die with their death, dying over the 40 years in the Midbar, by the death of a plague, rather than dying over here with this miserable death of thirst. V'lama haveisem eskal Hashem el ha-midbar hazeh. Why did you bring this congregation to this Midbar, lamu sham, to die over there, anachnu, us, uvi'irenu, and our animals? V'lama heli sunu mi-mitzrayim. Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim, l'havi oisanu, to bring us el ha-mokoim haro hazeh, to this evil place? Loi mekoim zera, this is not a place of seeds, u'se'eno, not a place of figs, v'gefen, nor a place of grapevines, v'rimoin, nor a place of pomegranates. U'mayim ayin lishtois, and also there is no water to drink. And the Mefarshim ask, does it make sense that Klal Yisrael, who were dying of thirst, would ask for zera, te'ena, gefen, and rimoin? The only thing they should have asked for was umayim ayin lishtois, that we do not have any water. Why did they even mention te'ena, gefen, v'rimon in their argument? And the Kehilas Yitzchak answers that if you look between the words loy and mekoim zera, there is a psik, a vertical line separating the word loy and the word mekoim. And this serves as a break and an interruption between these two words. And this is what Klal Yisrael's complaint to Moshe Rabbeinu was. Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim to bring us to this evil place? Loi, we are not saying this place is evil because it is not a mokum zera, not a mokum te'ena gefen v'rimon. But rather, this is an evil place because umayim ayin lishtois, we do not have even the basic necessities of water. And the pasuk continues, Vayovay Moshe v'Aharon mipnei ha'kohol el pesach oil moyed. And Moshe and Aharon came because of the congregation to the entrance of the Oil Moed, Vayipilu al Panehem, and they fell on their faces, as Ibn Ezra says, they davened to Hashem, Vayerech Vod Hashem Alehem, when the honor of Hashem appeared to them. Zok Rashi Posuk Aleph, Kol Ha'edo, Edo Hashlemo, the entire assembly came to Midbar Tzin, Shekvar Mesu Mese Midbar, because the ones who were decreed upon to die in the Midbar had already died, Ve'elu, and these people, Parashu L'chaim, were separated for life, and they were destined to enter Eretz Yisrael. Vatama Shom Miriam, and Miriam died over there. Loma Nitzmecha Mitzas Miriam, the Parashas Paraduma. Rashi asks, why is the Parasha of Miriam, the death of Miriam, placed adjacent to the Parasha of Paraduma? Because these two parshas should not really be placed near each other, because one occurred much after the other. The parsha of Paraduma was told to Klal Yisrael on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day the Mishkan was erected, in the second year that the Yidden were in the Midbar. And Misas Miriam occurred in the 40th year. So why are these two parshas placed next to each other? Rashi answers, Lo Milcha, this is to teach you, Ma Paraduma Michaperes, just like the Paraduma atones for Averis, like we learned earlier from Rav Moshe HaDarshan, that the Paraduma atoned for the Avera of the Egel, Af Misas Tzadikim, so too the death of Tzadikim, Michaperes atones for the Averis of Klal Yisrael. That's why these two parashiyos are placed next to each other. The Maskil of David asks, if that is the case, why did the Torah specifically take the parsha of the death of Miriam and place it next to the parsha of Paraduma? Why didn't it take the death of Nadav Avihu, who died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the second year that the Yidden were in the Midbar, and place that next to the parsha of Paraduma? Because both of these parshiyos happened on the same day. Why specifically the death of Miriam? And he answers, because there is a special chiddush by placing Miriam's death near the parsha of Paraduma, because it is teaching us that not only is the Misa of a Tzadik Mechaperes, but even the Misa of Noshim Tzidkaniyos, their Misa too is also Mechaperes. And that's why it places Miriam's death near the parasha of Parah Aduma. Zok Rashi Vatoma Shom Miriam, Af Hi B'Neshika Mesa, Miriam also died with a Misa of Neshika. And that we learn from Gzeres Shava Shom Shom from Moshe Rabbeinu. So why doesn't it say straight out the words Al Pi Hashem by Miriam, just like it says by Moshe? Zok Rashi, She'enoi Derech Kovei Chomalo, because this would not be a respectful manner of speaking towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uva'aron Nemar, however, by Aharon it does say Al Pi Hashem straightforward, Ve'elamase in Parshas Elamase. V'lo'yhoyo Mayim Lo'eda, and when Miriam died there was no water for the assembly. Mikan, from here we learn, Shekol Mem Shana Hoyo Lohem HaBe'er B'Zchus Miriam. The entire 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, they had the water of the Be'er in the merit of Miriam. And now, when Miriam died, the Be'er disappeared. Zot Rashi V'lu Gavanu, Halavai, if only we would have died. Halavai Shegavanu, Halavai that we would have died, B'Gva Achenu, B'Misas Achenu, with the death of our brothers, Badever, by the death of a plague. Limei, this comes to teach us, Shemisas Some Miguno Mimenu. The death of thirst is worse than dying by a plague. Bigva Achenu, Shem Davarhu. The word Bigva is a noun. It means the death. Kimoy Bemisas Achenu, with the death of our brothers. Veloyi Tochen Lefarshoi, and it does not make sense to explain the word Bigva to mean Kishemesu Achenu, when our brothers died. Sheim Kein Hoyaloli Noked Bigvoya. Then the word should not be Bigva, but rather Bigvoya. Rashi says the word Bigva Achenu means with the death of our brothers. If the Pasuk wanted to say when our brothers died, it would have said Bigvoya Achenu, not Bigva Achenu.